So I have this love-hate relationship with an app on my phone called Reddit. And Reddit is a place that collects stuff from the internet. So I'm not necessarily saying that you should have Reddit on your phone. Just like anything on the internet, there's like good stuff to find and trash to find. So, but one thing that Reddit does is it collects information into subreddits, like files in a file folder. And so like you may find a sub around and it's gone. So I find myself asking this question. Okay. Where is the problem going to start? Why is it happening? And most importantly, how could this have all been avoided, right? So typically, there's something in the video where you're like, well, this would have solved the whole problem. If this would have been done differently, no catastrophic failure. All right, I'm beginning with that because I want to tell you, over the last, like, several weeks, we've been discussing the kingdom of God. And we've been doing that through the parables of Jesus. The parables of Jesus are Jesus' way of trying to explain this really big, beautiful idea of God's world imagined in God's way. Jesus takes everyday kinds of things, like buildings and boats. And bulldozers, not those things. But, you know, he takes like fields and seeds and farmers. And he uses these everyday things as examples to explain God's hopes and dreams for the world. All right. If you're following me, will you just kind of give me something? Okay, thank you. All right, thank you. Everybody's kind of, you know, I need a little bit of affirmation. Sharon's not here this morning, and I need the amens, the hellos, the whatevers. All right, there we go. All of you, Sharon, if you're watching online, you are missed. So Jesus is using these everyday items to explain this very big concept of God's world imagined God's way, and then how we get to participate in it. Thank you, Internet. Today, Jesus' example is two different types of construction sites. One is a stable, dependable, predictable rock foundation. And the other construction site is an unstable, undependable, and yet still predictable, eroding, sandy, I'm going to say seashore. These are, yeah, these are two different building sites. Through these examples, now, Emily read this, but I'm going to restate it. Jesus gives us two different examples. He says, for people who hear me and hear what I have to say and then act upon those things, they're like wise builders who choose a good construction site. One that has a stable, dependable, predictable foundation. And when stuff happens to that building that's built on that kind of a construction site, when the wind blows and the rain comes and stuff beats and pushes against that house, what happens to that house? It stays put. It stands. So Jesus is showing us, here's one way of living. You hear me, and then you follow me. And that way, when you are buffeted by these things, you will withstand them. He finishes with a warning, where he says, listen, if you hear me and you don't follow me, that's like building on sand. It will result in a catastrophic failure. That's a very strong and stern warning. Jesus starts with the good news and finishes with the warning, but I'm going to flip it around. I'm going to talk about the warning and then I'm going to finish with the way. I've coached basketball to many age groups of people, from like 6-year-olds all the way to people in their 20s and 30s. And it's hard no matter what group you're dealing with. has anybody here ever tried to teach a child something that requires more than one step of instruction and struggled to do so, to get them to follow those instructions? You're like, all I need you to do is just this one thing. And there's something about it that it's hard, you know, to hold that in their head and then to do it. That's called working memory. I'm going to come back to that in just a second. Okay. So Moses, can I use you as an example this morning? Are you feeling up to it? Because if not, I'm going to have to use Anjanette. She went, Anjanette? Moses is not hard. He's good. Okay, so Anjanette, you're up. All right, you got to get up. Yeah, she's looking good today. Smile for the camera. Get up here, Bobby. Okay. Beef.
I got you, Moses.
Beef.
Cow?
Beef. Does it mean anything to you? Beef. No?
Cow?
No.
No?
No.
Wait.
Doesn't get it. She's not getting it. Okay. Balance.
Falling?
No.
No.
Okay.
Help me out.
All right. So when you're teaching somebody how to play basketball.
Yeah.
Stay here with me. And you're trying to teach them how to shoot the ball.
Mm-hmm.
The very first thing that they need to know is that they need to be on balance. So Anjanette, feet shoulder width apart.
Oh.
No, come here. I'm just testing it.
Oh.
Balance.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. So the first thing you're teaching them is balance. The second thing you're teaching them is eyes. Where do you put your eyes when you're, where do you look when you're shooting a basketball?
To the hoop, I guess,
she said. Yeah. So you either look at the front part of the hoop or the back part of the hoop. So balance, eyes, Anjanette.
Mm.
Elbow. Good. I'm so glad I picked you. Yes. So this is why it's important. Okay. So for your elbow on a basketball shot, I want it. Come a little closer. So I want your elbow right underneath your wrist, okay? I want your elbow right underneath your... No chicken wings out here. I want it right underneath your wrist.
All right.
That's where your elbow goes. Okay, now, when you shoot the ball...
My elbow don't go like that, y'all.
Okay, when you shoot the ball, the F in beef is follow through. All the way up, hand in the cookie jar.
Okay.
All right? Okay. So I've just shot her how to, I've just taught her how to shoot a basketball. And if I put the ball in her hand right now, you think she's ready? Beef! Beef! If I just start yelling, beef! Okay, balance.
Oh.
Eyes. Elbow. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Follow through. Just this one. No, follow through.
Oh.
Is up. No, all, extend it. Extend it all the way up and hand in the cookie jar. Hand in the cookie jar. Okay, everybody. Stand up.
All right, thank you. This feels
balance. Eyes. Elbow. Follow through. Okay, now we all know how to play basketball, right? Now we all know how to shoot. Thank you, Anjanette. You can go sit down. Okay, so let me tell you something. We all just learned the mechanics of shooting a basketball correctly. And when you're teaching a six-year-old how to do that, the acronym BEEF can be kind of helpful. BEEF. BEEF. Because it's easy to hear and hopefully easy to remember. Now, when we're at practice, we balance, eyes, elbow, follow through, balance, eyes, elbow, follow through, over and over and over and over again in practice, right? You know what happens when we get in a game time situation? Oh, it all goes out the window. Of course it does. You got somebody running at you, you got whistles blowing, you got parents saying, shoot the ball, pass the ball, run down the court, get on your man, find your man. You know, and it is chaotic, right? Balance, eyes, elbow, follow through goes right out the window unless it becomes something that is like second nature, right? And how does it become second nature? How does Steph Curry shoot the ball consistently every single time? Because Curry spends hours in the gym in non-pressure situations shooting that ball. He's making those same decisions over and over and over again in low pressure situations so that in high pressure situations, he can follow those same mechanics every time. Shots that are on balance, eyes where they're supposed to be, form the way it's supposed to be. What happens to us in high-pressure situations, struggling with that phrase, but you guys know what I'm saying, is that our working memory fizzles out. It can't handle it. This is why we have test anxiety, right? We have all this information stored in our head, but in the moment when there's pressure on us, when something comes to us like that, it goes, we can only hold so much right here in our minds, right? So we have to rehearse things that we want to become second nature in low pressure situations. All right. This is part of building the foundation of our life with God. What I'm trying to say is these daily moments with God, where we're making the choices that look like kingdom of God choices. Jesus says, it's not just enough to hear my words. Beef. What? Beef. It's not just enough to hear my words. You have to act upon them. And that's how the foundation becomes strong and stable and dependable and predictable. So that when you have these things that buffet you, think about what's buffeting you. So that when those things come to you, you have the ability to respond well in that moment. Okay. It's a game time speed kind of moment. So I've been preaching this to myself all week long. I banged my shin against the table yesterday. That table hasn't moved. That table's been there for forever in that exact spot. I banged my shin on that table. And I was like, what a perfect opportunity to just absolutely lose my mind. You know, I'm fully justified in losing my mind right now. And in my head, I thought, this is a game time situation. This is one of those high pressure moments where I'm getting to make a decision because I'm hurt. So I'm feeling something. My emotions are charged, right? It's a game time situation. So what is Jesus' version of beef? It's actually only three words, but one of them is repeated. Anybody? What is Jesus' version of, here is your baseline thing that you carry with you. This is your foundational thing that you carry with you all throughout the day, into all of these moments, into every interaction. What's his version? What is Jesus' version of beef? Follow, that's good. Follow me is a good one. Anybody? The law and the prophets are summed up. Love God, love others. That's it. It's four words, but one of them is repeated. Love God, love people. All right? So in these high pressure moments, in these game time scenario moments, and I'm going to give you some examples of them, the filter through which our actions should flow. How in this moment am I able to love God? How in this moment am I able to love people, this person right in front of me, right? Now, you'll know when the game time moment happens for lots of different reasons, and maybe you're already thinking of them. Are you guys following me? Okay, because I tried to make this make sense. Hopefully, the Holy Spirit's helping a little bit, and it's making sense. If you find yourself feeling critical of, and I don't mean like have a legitimate complaint about something. I mean you're just being critical about a person, about yourself, about this world, about the way all of it works. If you find yourself feeling critical, and you're feeling pressed down, that's a game time moment. That's a game time moment. If you find yourself canceling somebody, either a whole people group or one individual person who cuts you off in traffic, Joy says, you always use the traffic illustration. I was like, because that is my problem. Like it is my training ground for the love God, love people scenario, you know? And God uses that because I drive my car regularly and 285 is a nightmare. And so is 20 and the Georgia 400 and all of it. people are insane. And in those moments, beef, love God, love people. If you find yourself canceling another person, and that might look like even in just like an interaction with one person, they're trying to talk to you and you just, ooh, I had somebody do that to me in the drive-thru one time as a Starbucks customer. I was trying to serve her and I was trying to speak to, I was trying to right a wrong. Oh, I have never felt so non-personed. She just canceled me. She canceled me. And I wanted, with everything in me, to cancel her back. But Jesus says things like, hey, listen, anybody can love people who love them. What's the real challenge is to love somebody who cancels you. To love somebody who does not love you back. And it's right after that, in this Sermon on the Mount chunk, that Jesus says, therefore, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So maybe perfection looks like what God does, where God loves all of us, even if we don't love God back. And God's like, that's what I'm looking for in you. So when we have this love God, love people thing, there are no exceptions. There is no moment where you can go, you know what? This is a righteous anger. This is justifiable jerkiness. This is my voice being raised. I got every right. Stomping off, having an attitude. I have every right. And Jesus says, no, that's not how this works. Now listen, it's different than complaint. It's different than righting a wrong, okay? Like, there is plenty of room for correction and rebuke and for change that needs to happen. That's all there, right? That's all still allowed and needed. It's the way that we go about it that matters. So it's our temptation to, like, push our weight around, right? To raise our voice or to sulk or in whatever way we're using our power to try to get the outcome that we want. We revert to these natural to us ways, right? Game time situations show us who we really are. That maybe we tend toward being critical. We tend toward being defensive. We tend toward being easily angered. We've got short fuses. You know, can you tell what I deal with here? The things that what are yours? I can't enumerate yours. What are your things? We have to practice loving God and loving people in lower stake moments so that in the game time situations, we can have this reflex of, okay, wait. I'm going to do it this way instead. Okay, so to keep with our sports analogies here, we got several. We've got buildings, we've got catastrophic failure Reddit, we've got baseball. So Kevin Costner, I mentioned one of his baseball movies. Kevin Costner, if he can play a baseball player in a movie, he's like, I want to audition for that. I want to be that. I want to do that. Kevin Costner's been in a lot of baseball movies. So he was in a baseball movie called For Love of the Game. And he's an aging pitcher in the major league. Go Braves, by the way. Whoop, whoop. World Series, here we go. He's an aging pitcher named Billy Chappell in Major League Baseball. And he's in a critical game. So picture it. The stadium is full. If any of you watched the game last night, that's not hard to imagine. The stadium is full. And the fans are jeering at him, telling him who he is, who they think he is, giving him a hard time. It is so loud in the space. Somebody's got one of those vuvuzelas. You know what a vuvuzela is? It's like that long plastic trumpet that you see at soccer games. It's like, bah! You know, it's a really loud horn sound. There's all of these distractions, all of these things buffeting him, kind of like what Jesus was describing in this parable that he was using of like the wind and the rain and the flood, the things that are coming at the house to buffet it and knock it off balance. It's before the first pitch is even thrown in the game. The catcher runs out to the mound and he says to Billy, this is one of his final games, he says, "You and me, one more time." And Billy says, "Yeah, sure." Baseball is really a game between a pitcher and a catcher. It's them competing against the batter. And then the fielders just do their part. So you got the pitcher communicating with the catcher to try to trick the batter to win the game. So it's this communication that matters most between pitcher and catcher. But how many feet are between the pitcher's mound and home plate? So like 60? Something like that? Anybody know? Something like that? So here he is. He's on the mound. It's loud. The way that they're shooting this scene is the volume is up. You hear the crowd, and then you hear isolated voices shouting and jeering. And then you see the vuvuzela. And then you see him on the mound, and in his head he says, does anybody know? Beef. That's the other sports analogy that I used today, Anjanette. If he did say beef in the movie, everybody would be like, this movie is so bad. Anybody know? Who says it? Clear the mechanism. I want to say it to Maggie all the time when she's out on the pitcher's mound. Maggie, clear the mechanism. And what that means, whenever he says that, clear the mechanism, the way that they shoot that, you should go look this up. To ask Joy, I was in here watching it, hyping myself up before a service, and I got all teary, and I was like, I'm watching something that's just really moving. He has this moment where he says, clear the mechanism. And it's like the whole field goes, ooh. Everything gets quiet and muffled. And the crowd blurs. Can't see him anymore. And it's just him and the catcher. He takes this beat. He takes this moment. And then he does, in this high-pressure situation, what he has practiced over and over and over and over again in an empty stadium with nobody watching. And he throws a strike. This is why I love sports and why I get emotional about sports, is because you watch people doing something incredibly difficult in a very high pressure situation, and they're able to do it because they've rehearsed it over and over and over again in low pressure situations. And sometimes you watch something really beautiful and unique happen where the stakes are higher than they've ever been. The count is full. It's 3-2, and you got the pitcher on the mound, and all he needs is one more strike to finish the game. And he does it. We practice building this foundation with God, this love God, love people consistently in every day. We do that. When it's easy, when we're not banging our shin on the table, when we're not in traffic. We do it in these low pressure situations so that when we have a game time situation, we're able to take a beat, clear the mechanism with God, and decide, I'm going to love this person. I am going to love my God by loving this person. That is the kingdom of God in a nutshell. That is God's world. If we were all able to do that consistently all the time, this world would transform into what God imagined. When I say love God, love people, that may seem like really broad. And you're like, yeah, but what about like, you know, and you have these nuanced scenarios, right? Well, yeah, but what about in da-da-da situation? Isn't there an exception? Or isn't it harder? Well, sure, it's going to be hard. in these low pressure situations, we get to invite God into them with us. And that's when these fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit develops in us. I'm just going to say them for you really quick. Love is the first one. And really, if you just have the two bookends of love and self-control, you end up covering all the ones in between. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. This is what a life looks like that is built on this firm foundation with God. And when we are buffeted, we can withstand that stuff. Those hard things, are what we are building will stand. It will be able to withstand it. It won't crumble and fall apart. I think sometimes we're inclined to think that the foundation is, yes, I've accepted Jesus and now I'm building my life. And I think it's more like we get to build and rebuild the same building over and over and over again with God. Like we're like, oops, that part was sandy. That part of the building that's the sandy part in the ground that needs some work. For those of you who are perfectionists, the pitfall for you is going to be to shame yourself when you blow it. But to use that sports analogy, there's another pitch. There's another shot to be taken. There is another opportunity to try again. This life that we are living with Jesus takes practice. And that's what you're being invited into. All of this stuff that we've been covering over the last several weeks, you're being invited into this life with God. And it requires you not just to hear what Jesus has to say, but to actually act upon that in all the little bitty spots of your life. One of the great things about church is that we get the chance to practice this on each other and with each other. This is like the team that comes to practice, right? And this is where we get to hurt each other's feelings and then work on forgiving. This is where we get to get angry and then, you know, be like, whoa, whoa, hey, sister. Anjanette's done that with me a handful of times. She's like, don't do that again. And you know why she can say that to me? Because we're a team here. We're working towards the same things. That's one of the reasons why we gather here, is so that we can practice these things together and then move out into our neighborhood and be loving and good to our neighbors. And this is how the world changes, y'all. That's right. Coach Bud, who's following Coach Jesus, who's much better to follow. If you want to talk about, parts in your life where you're like, hey, this needs a little bit of refinement. This needs a little bit of shoring up. It's a little sandy right there. It needs a little practice. Whichever analogy you want to use. Like Joy and I, we're pastors here, and we like to hear about those things in confidence and pray about those things and walk with you in those things. And we're about to have our time of response. Maybe the very first step is just to be like honest with Jesus about where you're at right now. You know, like, hey, I kind of want to, I feel like there's a lot of things that need practice. But I want to get started.